Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 302 for June 14th, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we are going to be talking about the S&P 500 and what's going on in the rest of the market. So you should be seeing my screen right now with the S&P 500 chart. And I'm going to be bringing up charts for whatever we or everything we talk about today. And today I've arranged for Sunny Harris to join us and Norm Hallett. And the option professor is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, great. Good to have everybody with us here. We've got a big week ahead of us with the Fed coming out with their decision. We survived the CPI number last week pretty well. So we'll have to see how this one works. Today we got a great cast here of going over some questions that you guys have put in, plus things that they're going to show you that they do. So it's going to be a pretty good darn show. Starting out with Sunny Harris. Sunny, a little background on yourself and a little bit about what you're doing at your company.
Oh my. My background lasts for about 20 minutes. Is that all right?
Well, we start with born in a manger next to the river.
Born in a manger. And then I almost was, actually. I was born in the hills of East Tennessee in the Appalachian Mountains and grew up there and then moved to California. What a shock. When I was 18 and started a little company and did the first computer graphics software ever in the early 70s. And then I retired from that when I was 30. And so I had a whole lot of money that I had, you know, you sell a software business at .com, how that goes.
Right.
So I gave it, I did what I thought was a smart thing. I gave it to money managers and they were doing something called trading futures, which I had no idea what that was, but they said they could make me another $1 million pretty fast. So I'm like, okay, that sounds good. It took them 3 weeks to lose 75 grand and another week to lose another 50. And I said, well, I can do that poorly on my own. So that's how I got started trading. I started reading everything. We didn't have a whole lot of software back then, but I started reading Investor's Business Daily and plotting on graph paper and decided I love charting, and the rest is history. I've been trading since 1981.
Great. And at the end of the broadcast, you're going to give people an ability to get a hold of you and go more specifically on what kind of things you offer. Is that okay?
That's great with me.
Okay, Norm, people are pretty familiar with you because you're a regular guest on some of these shows, but for the uninitiated, a little background on Norm and Hallett and what's going on down there with the Disciplined Trader.
Well, I don't think I've ever mentioned that I'm probably Sonny's biggest fan.
Oh.
So, you know, that's also grew up in the hills of, actually not in the hills of Tennessee, but before I was a trader, I was in the nightclub business and ran a nightclub in Knoxville, Tennessee. One of my, it was really one of the competitors to Studio 54. It was a very high-end kind of a place. That one, though, was more of a bar joint for the University of Tennessee. Anyway, I didn't know Sunny then, but I know her now, and I'm really glad to be kind of virtually standing next to her on the stage. I'm really all about the mental and emotional issues of trading, and I think Sunny's probably one of the few that give some sort of emphasis to that when in communicating with traders. It's really the lost secret of trading, and when I look at charts, when I look at markets, I'm always kind of thinking about how that's going to affect people mentally and emotionally to be able to trade it. So you can't help but be in the market. I see there's a 50-day moving average up there. That's kind of the one I use for this analysis. But again, I'm happy to be here. And so let's get going, Jim.
Okay, sounds great. Let's hit the subjects that were offered in, and then we'll go into stuff that you want to tailor towards your own presentation. But let's get some of these things out of the way as far as what people want to hear about. First thing is the 10-year note. We all know that it went up to about 175 during the panic in the first quarter. And since that time, it's had a total inability to get higher than 175, despite inflationary numbers, despite all types of growth numbers, whatever. And last week, with a big CPI number, we had a 140 handle. So I guess people are trying to figure out, where's the 10-year note going? Because all the talking heads are talking 2% or better by the end of the year, but the market's not talking that at all. So Sunny, starting out with you, where's this 10-year note going, and how should people plan?
Well, right now it's sitting up against a Fibonacci line that's going to keep it heading back down a little bit, I think, for a while. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see it going up. I'm expecting some more inflation and some more higher interest rates. You know, it's COVID made everything more. I don't know about you, but in California, everything's more expensive now than it was last year.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So I think it's going higher, ultimately.
Ultimately. Because again, I guess the confusion in the question from the person is that we already know that inflation's going higher because we got prints to that effect. We all know that there's bottlenecks that have caused some higher prices. We all have heard word about wage inflation is coming, yet this thing doesn't budge off of this, the can't get above 175. But you're thinking along the lines of these numbers will accelerate or exacerbate, and that is going to throw, that'll be ultimately too much for this bond market to handle?
Well, let's see just a second. David, can you draw two parallel trend lines down from the tops and under the bottoms of that last, since a little before there, go to your, right there. No, go, draw a trend line going down from the top of that.
I have to...
Well, anyway, there's a flag there.
I don't draw a lot of trend lines on this software.
I don't know what software you're using.
TradeView. Trading.
But as he's trying to do right that, there. Your up, point up is one. That there's like a right flag there. Forming there?
Yeah, I think we can see that flag. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's so, not quite so it's at there, the top.
You know, and so the next thing, obviously, it has to go back up and hit the top of that flag or break on down through. And that's what I watch, is stuff like that. I watch Fibonacci lines and pennants and flags and congestion of all kinds. I have
is that close to what you were wanting?
Yes, sir. That's good. Okay, whatever. Great. Yeah, perfect. So, and it bounced off that, and now it's going to go back up and touch top one, or it's going to break through to the downside, but it doesn't look like it from those last two green bars.
Yeah, exactly.
I watch everything on my Sunny Bands. I've talked about this till I'm blue in the face, I guess, but it's something, you know, I'm a mathematician, and it's something that I developed to avoid whipsaw and to make my trading life easier. It's Sunny Bands and my dynamic moving average are what I won the number one trader in the world twice because of that. And the Sunny Bands right now are saying that it's going down. So, I mean,
translation is yields will continue to drop as far as you can see.
Yes.
Jackson Hole thing is probably a big thing, right? At the end of the summer, maybe after Jackson Hole, the world changes.
Maybe,
you know, because anyway, Norm, how are you feeling about things?
You know, I'm from the old school that Sonny is from. I think I'm from the public school. Sonny may be from the private school. I don't know, but it's
from the public.
I think we're both in the public school too. But you know, when I look at a form, well, first of all, as far as the 10-year is concerned, you know, I always and I still think it's true that the market looks out into the future, and you know, they used to say what the prints that are happening now are what the views are 6 months from now. I do believe. That that's contracted to a large degree. I don't know that we can look out more than about 3 months or maybe 2 months. But I do think that you know, we should stay. I think we're going to stay in a very tight range in the 10-year between this 1.4 and 1.7 for a while. You know, for the next whatever 30, 60 days. I look at accumulation like this. Of course, this is a reflection. When I'm looking at the S&P chart, I'm looking at a reflection of the reflection of people's opinions of interest rates also as a large part. But this kind of accumulation, you know, you can generally take the length of the accumulation, and if it does break to the upside and make a new high, you know, you'll go to that length, like taking that protractor that I always talk about, where you put the pin where it breaks out and you flip the pencil around to where it's going to go. But I also think that these kinds of formations, the pennants mostly, but flags a little bit also, you got to watch the false breakouts and breakdowns. Sometimes, you know, the whipsaws. And I think Sunny's, you know, Sunny's process of how she talks about it, when you get sunnified, you know, you can avoid some of those whipsaws, as she said. But I think that I wanted to also bring that up, that out of accumulations like this, you can see a whipsaw, but I think you just got to step back and let it develop. I'm also amazed at who's the guy on CNBC that stands there, is always talking about interest rates, Santelli.
Yeah,
I mean, he was, so when that thing broke to 170 or 175, he was all over. This is going up, man. That was the top, and it's so obvious to me when those kinds of, because I was just in Orlando, you know, talking to people about, you know, their emotional facets of the market, you know, how they're reacting, what they see, and there wasn't a lot of emotion around it. You know, there's a steadiness on both sides. Everybody's kind of in the wait and see, and I think that's what the market's showing us.
Yeah. J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon said he's anticipating a significant slowdown in trading volume, and I think that would indicate that you know, the big volatility may be away from us for a while, particularly on the upside volume, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's where we
think. Excuse me, one second. I don't think that they're indecisive. I think they're just waiting to see what the rest of us big guys are going to do. And so we've got these little bitty bars hanging around at the top, indecision. So I think that the public's just waiting to see what we're going to do.
And you got a lot of people that are short because, you know, like Santelli was yelling out, everyone was looking for two, and the whole world's looking for 2 and 2.5 and all those numbers. I haven't heard 1.25 except from there was one guy who was saying that, and I don't know. I mean, it's it seems like everyone's betting the other way. Anyway, let's go to the next thing, which is inflation, and everyone is wanting to know what we think inflation is going to be doing. going. So, Sonny, let's take a stab at where inflation's going. Is it going to be transitory or sticky? And what does that mean?
When I was growing up, meaning when I was first trading, and it was back in the 80s, 81, we had Ronald Reagan over here, and inflation was up to about 17%, if I remember correctly. I remember paying huge interest rates for things, and I hope we will never see it again. I hope the Fed's going to do a good job of controlling that. But, you know, competition for loans can drive the rates up. So I don't know. I don't expect it to go above 3.
And do you think like it's going to be a situation where some of this stuff will be transitory and others will be sticky, which is seems like a reasonable expectation?
Yeah, I think so. The inflation is going to affect it. The prices
How do you feel that will correlate into gold, silver, and platinum?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me look up gold real quick. See what
that's why they pay me the big bucks, to ask these great questions.
That's a great question. I thought gold was going for 2,000. It's heading down right now. It looks to me like it's going long-term up 2,000.
Yeah, this 1850 is right around the one-year moving average that I look at. So that's why I think it's a little bit important to hold this 1850.
Yeah, the low I've got for today is like 1848. And, you know, I draw Fibonacci lines on things. And so I still think it's heading for 2000. I don't know how long that's going to take. But
Yeah. So you think but the inflation that will stick around and maybe the real interest rates being so negative will probably be somewhat positive for the gold on a longer term basis?
I think so, yes.
Reasonable. Okay, Norm, what's your input on inflation then?
I'm kind of in the go to sleep camp. I mean, just listening to Sonny talk about 2000, I don't disagree with that. The thing is that we've been there already. I mean, that's $150 from here. You know, it's almost like a non-event.
But you're not a player. You're not a player going to 22, 25, 2600, nothing like that.
You know, we could see something like that briefly, you know, like we saw 850 in gold in 1980.
Right.
And then 22 limit down days in silver, but may the Hunt brothers live in peace, rest in peace. But I just think, again, I'm thinking that, you know, they talk about all the checks that were written and all the money people have to spend, and that's going to incite inflation, as well as, you know, the demand on housing and so on. And look at the housing prices, look at oil, and it's not happening. You know, it's not happening. And I'm cautious. You know, I'm not placing my bet on inflation. You know, I think, you know, Sonny and I both, we look at the chart and that tells us what to do. But if I had to project, I'm looking at a very docile, disappointing time for the gold bucks. You know, I just don't see it, because the market's not telling me anything that's going to happen. Everybody, it's still on the wish list. And we've already had all this. I mean, the spending should have been here already. And I don't have that trust in the American people who's really leading this whole world recovery, for whatever extent the world is recovering. I just don't think that COVID is over. I think we're going to see, you know, I think when the winter hits and the fall hits, I think we're going to see a resurgence of some of these pockets of the states that are not, you know, you've got your choice whether you want to get vaccinated or not, but I think there's going to be some ramifications there as we all open up travel and so on. I just see a lot of negativity and slowdown out there, almost as much or an equal amount to what I see as inflationary. So I'm cautious. I'm really, really imploring people to let the market tell you what to do. And, you know, put the emotion, again, this is the best place to put your emotions aside and don't guess. Let the markets tell you.
Yeah, follow the money. Well, we've got the next thing they want to know about is the MEM stocks. And they change all the time, because last week, some of the MEM stocks like Geo and Clove were doing very good. And then they just went way, way down. And same thing with, I think, GameStop and even I think AMC. Today I'm looking at some of these things that are trending. I'm picking out some names: Palantir, PLTR, and Roku, ROKU, and PubMatic, PUBM. But they change all the time on whatever I guess is hot. But it's a pretty dangerous game to play. How do you guys feel about the MEM stock?
Well, what's your definition of a meme stock?
Meme stock.
There are a number of definitions. What's yours?
Mine is that it's fueled primarily on chat rooms and not on fundamentals. That's what I see that quite a bit. You know, in other words, I heard they were valuing. They have 1,000 theaters, I guess, AMC, and they were valuing each one at 40 million. And when that number hits me, I'm like, 40 million for a movie theater sounds
is the measure of short interest part of your definition?
Well, of course, that would be part of it, but it's not the only thing. But certainly, I mean, obviously, it's going to be the short interest out there, and then it's going to be the chatter on these streaming stuff that's going on in these chat rooms, and then I think there's also an illogical factor to some of it. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, the more crazy the valuation, the more it gets popular. Sometimes, you know,
understatement.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, you know, what do you say about them? What would any rational people say? Let's hear what Sonny's got to say, and then we'll move forward from there.
Well, I was gonna say, I wouldn't invest in any of those, but then I looked at some of those symbols, and I've got them in my portfolio. But buy low, sell high is the whole
exactly.
Idea
yeah,
here.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
there.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say your position probably is around the fact that you put them in your system and you follow what your system tells you.
Exactly.
You can put anything in a system that works.
Right. And
so
right.
Bottom line is that, you know, because I was even just simple moving average in AMC would have taken you from $9.50 up to like $45.
Yeah. Well, with my system, I put Sunny Bands on something. I just read what it says and there I have it. And I have a couple of filters that I use Radar Screen in TradeStation. And I can put my DMAH, Dynamic Moving Average Histogram in there.
Right.
Gives me early signals when things are going to turn around. And Roku, for instance, is what I have up right now.
Right.
The DMAH is right about across the zero line, which says Roku's going up higher. Palantir, PLTR.
And look at Wish too, WISH, after you're done.
Okay. I was looking at PR, and that thing's down, but I've got profit in it. So I'm holding on. I think that's one of the future things. ChargePoint's another one that I think is real interesting, because if electric cars do what they're reported to do, then, you know, we're going to all need a place to plug in a filling station.
You bet.
So that's a good idea. And what was the other one you said to me?
Wish.
Time frame daily, Wish. Oh, just popped up a couple of days ago. But that doesn't look like anything I'm going to be putting any money in.
Yeah, there's a couple of biotechs that have gone nuts too. RAPT and ENOB. RAPT and BNOB. ENBO. ENOB. So
something like that. Well,
yeah.
Just on the wish, you know, I don't see any reason to buy it at this time.
Yeah.
It's got a Fibonacci 23.6 right above where that off was a few days ago.
Right.
Pushed it back down. It's going to have to break 1384 to get my interest.
All right, Norm, what's your stab here at the old?
Well, you know,
how do you say it? Meme or mimi?
Meme.
I'm still lingering on Sunny Bands. I think Sunny and I should do a workout video. Using the Sunny Bands. But that's
a good idea, Norm.
That's another discussion. Yeah, but all of this trading stuff doesn't work out. But but Sonny mentioned something, you know, once they take off, they take off. You know, we're all looking for ones that have a takeoff. That's why I want you to put up ONVO, because this doesn't have the short interest that one would look for. But this stock, when it first came, first of all, I just want to tell you what it is, if you haven't heard out there. ONVO is something I heard about from Singularity University about 7 or 8 years ago. It was a group of high-end executives listening to two futurists talk. They talked about this stock. This is a stock that when it first came out, hit $250. Now it's trading about $8. And I got a buy signal. Do you see where about 2 weeks ago where you had that first blip up? That was the buy signal that I had. And the next day it shot up to almost $12, and it's been accumulating ever since. This is a company, a biotech company that is a 3D. They make 3D. They 3D bioprint. Right now they're printing sheets of skin and bioidentical skin, and they sell it. They sell it to Max Factor and the beauty companies to test instead of using rabbits and so on. But their real future is taking your genome from your blood, taking your genetic print, and going back in the back room and printing out a bioidentical kidney and putting it inside people who need kidneys, because it won't get rejected because it's bioidentical, it's identical genetically, and you know, it all of a sudden you can see the future of bioidentical mechanical printing out 3D bioprinting kidneys. They're doing it with skin. They have been for a while. They have no money. They, you know, the money, the way they raise money is just more stock. And so they've had a lot. This is why they're all the way down. But the science is there. So this is a stock that I watch. Doesn't have the mean quality of short interest.
Right.
But it is, you know, it is a stock that I think has a future. And so this is a stock that I look at every morning to see what happened.
What happened with the volume, Norm? The volume there went off the charts on that one up move. Was there an announcement? Was there something happening?
Yeah, well, there was a, there was an announcement of a positive, there was a rumor of positive in some of the tests that they were doing. And also their name is a main speaker in one of these bio events and so on. But I think it was just trapped. It actually, you can see what happened the day after that signal happened. Normally it only trades about 300,000 shares a day.
So that's what I was
that day. I think it went to seven million or something.
Like yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
I think it really shows the sensitivity of it. I think it may still have some sideways to go, but this is a stock that I think they're doing things that I think could interest some of that, money that's doing crazy things. Anyway, this is a stock that I watch.
Sure.
Thanks for that tip, Norm. I hadn't heard of that before, and I really like what they're doing from what you just said. This looks like something I would buy and hold on forever just because I believe in it.
Well, you'd be joining the club, you know. Yeah. You may have to average down until it breaks out, but of which we don't like to do.
I'm averaging down with Tesla every day.
There you go. That's it.
Well, let's turn to the crypto area. There's a couple of different areas they wanted to hear about here. First one is blockchain. What area of blockchain, Sunny, do you find most interesting?
What does blockchain actually mean? I trade Bitcoin and I trade Ethereum.
Right. Ethereum would be more blockchain oriented, wouldn't it? From the standpoint of programmable and all that?
Yeah, that's true. I've got Ethereum from 2100, so I still have profit in it. It is sure heading right back down to where I bought it. But I don't think that's going to last for long. I think this is made for the future.
What a beautiful chart so far.
Yeah.
Any other stocks that hit you for blockchain, or it's pretty much Ethereum the lead dog?
I think Ethereum is.
Yeah. Any input on that, Norm?
The stock that I watch for this is Overstock. Do you have the signal there? I have it. I think it's
OSTK.
Yeah, Overstock. And, this is it's the retail company that, is that a daily now? There you go. It's a retail company that's put a lot of money into, believe it or not, blockchain development. Blockchain being, the encryption genius behind applications that it can be used for. And of course, Bitcoin and Ethereum or all that, but it can be used for other things too, as far as encryption. And of course, encryption is becoming a more and more thrown around term with, companies being with all the ransomware and so on.
Right.
But this company is sensitive to the blockchain story. And I just like there's good action in this stock. I'm looking at it just from, even if I look at it from a Fibonacci standpoint, I'm just looking at it. I'm seeing, corrective action that is very formed. This is a very nice stock to watch because it is so, they've made a corporate decision to be one of the leaders in blockchain development. So they've got their own hot teams doing it. And most people don't recognize this stock because it's a retail store. They're pivoting to something they think has big money in it. This is their form of accepting a Bitcoin for purchases, I guess. But this is the stock that I watch. And you can see the volume's been quiet, more and more quiet as the market's been creeping higher. But that's my Bitcoin play.
All right. The last part of this is going to be in crypto alternative coins. Anybody got any alternative coins they want to throw out there?
Well, the alternative coins I like are 1 ounce gold coins.
There you go. All right. I think we've had enough of that. We've got that done. Long and short positions basically was the last question people had. So I don't know what exactly they're asking, but do you have any significant or short positions?
I think that was still related to what they were asking was altcoins for long or short positions.
Oh, okay.
We also have a question from the live audience about what do you all think of Caterpillar?
Oh, Caterpillar. I think they're probably not happy that the grains are tanking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
the grains look like they peaked in May. I don't know if that correlates to the high on cat, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, just a quick look, looks like there's major support at 200. I mean, it's where that top was about halfway through that chart. And, I think there's going to be some continued volatility in the grains. And, you know, the summer's just beginning. So,
It could be. But, you know, the thing is if the whole thing's based on drought and there's no drought, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
I've got a Fibonacci line holding right underneath her price at 212. So it's at 216 at the moment. 212, yeah. It should bounce.
Yeah.
Where did you draw the line from, Sonny?
Oh, from COVID, from the first bounce after the COVID low.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Since we're looking at Caterpillar, you want to throw up a soybean or a corn so people could take a look at that? Because obviously those markets, if they are still good, they're on sale. If they're no good anymore, it'd be nice to know.
I've got soybeans SU21. I think it's going to move down to 1358 and then bounce back up again.
Yeah. And it's at 14, so it's still got a little bit more real estate.
Oh, you're looking at different numbers than I'm looking at.
He's looking at cash.
I'm looking at the September 21 contract.
Which is currently at?
Yeah, SM, July, September. There it is, right down. And so I think it needs to see that, you know, I call these things attractors. They're not necessarily Fibonacci lines or moving averages or horizontal lines, or there's just all kinds of ways you can draw things that tend to attract price back down or up to them. So I see an attractor right across the top of that. I wish I could move my mouse for you. From the beginning of 2021, straight across, flat, right there. Pull it down a little bit more. There. Yeah. Okay, so if you go up to the top of those next prices right there, that's about where it should bottom. What is that? 14? Yeah, right there. 1443.
Norm mentioned an interesting spread last time he was on, Sonny.
Yeah, and I'm going to mention it again because... Yeah.
Let me build it up for you, Norm.
Yeah,
you
know,
you're a superstar. You're a superstar, and I'll tell them about it.
There you go.
Last time we were on, Norm said you had the price of wheat and the price of corn almost going for the same price, and that's very inordinate. And so there might be a very good spread opportunity, which would be buy the wheat and sell the corn. And obviously, that was an extremely accurate statement. So now, Norm, take it over and tell them how it worked out.
Do you have the spread chart? You know, whenever I'm at one of these, I didn't go to the one in Orlando. Money show that you always have a John Person there.
Oh yeah,
the first thing we always talk about is where the corn wheat spread is. He's kind of a crazy guy on that. But you can this is the narrowest discount spring wheat since
96. It says
this is the corn.
Is that what you were looking for?
If you put up the individual contract,
yeah, I guess these are cents. I don't think we're looking at 20 cents, $2 or $4. Right now, I mean, yesterday and a couple of days before that, the corn was actually premium to wheat. And when that happens, in real life, you know, in a normal life, corn usually sits about $1, $1.50 discount to wheat. Whenever you see it at these high levels, you really have a chance to, the corn, the margin is small. The risk, I think, is relatively low. And I think it gained about 13, 14 points on that today, where the corn was down. It went from premium yesterday I think it was 4 or 5 cents premium yesterday's close, corn to wheat. Today it's 10 cent discount. So there's going to be volatility here. When you have a spread, it kind of tempers your risk a little bit, but don't let that fool you. It can be risky too. But I do think that over the next couple of months, that could be a really good trade. I think there's probably at least 40 or 50 cents in that trade in the short term if we are coming down. So that's a good way to play it for the smaller accounts, I think.
Yeah, I was just trying to get a little bit of an idea of what the drop has been since the high point. And it looks like that spread's definitely picked up some ground your way.
I've got wheat. I've got wheat down today 7 cents and corn down 27. So it caught 20. It caught 20 cents today. So, there'll be responses and, you can get closer to par. And I think that's what I would do. You don't want to chase these markets. But anytime you see wheat close to the price of corn, take on a position that you can stand to move in the wrong direction. Don't overdo it, but it's a fairly safe play if there is such a thing,
Well, Sonny, we're gonna get into some of the standard questions we have on a Monday morning that we normally hit. So let's start out with the S&P 500. We opened at 4248. And with regards to what the market might be doing between today and Friday's close, basis 42.48, where do you think we'd be, Sunny? Higher or lower by Friday? Best guess.
I've got 42.27. What are you saying? 42?
Well, I'm just saying SPX, which is the cash, is it opened at 42.48.
I just watch those futures all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, you know, it's the same deal. Whatever the price was on the opening where you're looking, where do you think it's going to be between now and Friday?
Between now and Friday, I think we're moving on up. My DMAH is pointing up. Lines are above zero on all gold, so it says it's going up.
And your confidence level ballpark?
It's above recent highs, so I'm going to say 70.
And we'll get into the reasons behind it other than your technicals, if you have any. And Norm, how are you feeling about the opening today? Yeah,
I'm with Sunny on this. I think, you know, you can't buck this kind of trend. Look at the chart. We've broken the new highs, although we haven't seen any breakout. I mean, if you were a betting person, you'd be looking to, you know, stay long in the market.
The advanced decline line made new highs last week. So it was kind of like a tip that we might make new highs. Mm-hmm. But Sunny, what are you looking at as far as, you know, either a technical or fundamental factors that give you an idea that we might be drifting higher by the end of the week?
For the S&P, it's just my DMA and my Sunny bands.
Okay.
It's at the top of the upper outer Sunny band. So when it gets up there, it usually makes a run for it and breaks on up higher. And I tell you guys, one of the things I also do is every night I consult my Vantage Point software. And Vantage Point has it high to 40. Let me check the line. Has it to 42, 53.
That's their projection by weekend?
Yes.
Okay. Now Vantage Point uses a artificial intelligence scheme, right?
Right. And if you look at my new website, Norm, I know you've seen Money Mentor for the last 100 years, but I changed it completely. And it's an all new website as of a week and a half ago. And one of the things I've got on there, I've got a chart right on the front page, a chart of the Dow and a chart of the S&P, and then a chart of the current Vantage Point projection. Hmm. So there it is for free. You can always see what's predicted for tomorrow.
And have you found it to be very helpful?
I do. I even reviewed it a number of years ago, and after doing a whole bunch of math and exercising it, found it to be, I think it was 82 or 84% accurate. It's really amazing.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's truly not bad. Norm, where are you as far as your confidence level on where we're going? And
well,
then some reasons behind it. Yeah.
It may not be as high as, I mean, I don't think we're, that's a hard number, but you know, I'm more in the 55-60% area, maybe even less. There is an indicator that I watch, and I've mentioned Hema's work. She's kind of a new kid on the block. I mean, she's not a super youngster. She's been around, but she's been kind of, last 4 or 5 years, she's come on the internet scene and works a lot with the RSI. And she talks about a band of the RSI between 55 and 65. And when we've been hanging in that band for weeks now, and if the market decides to head lower, that would be a resistance point. Anyway, I look for markets within certain bands. There's one for the positive moves, one for the negative moves. But the fact that it's been hanging in that band tells me that we may be ready for some corrective action. But it's not enough. You can't rely on the RSI, for predictive. I mean, it's a good confirmation indicator, but so I'm waiting for the markets to do something so I can confirm what I'm seeing in the RSI. So again, there's nothing happening here as far as it's just floating higher, and that's what the market should continue to do.
Yeah,
and that's a really good description. It is just floating higher.
Right.
It's not aggressive. It's not. It's just a little at a time.
The
I have my own special RSI, which is, so it's not as jaggy all the time. I've smoothed it with my dynamic moving average function. Mm. And it just now shows turning up above. I use 60 and 40 because of Connie Brown. Her work was powerful. Mm. So it's above the 60 line. So I think he's heading on up.
You know, being an option guy, I take a look at the VIX, and the VIX hit a 52-week low today at 15.04. And it doesn't look like it wants any part of it. It actually has a spiking looking low there at 15.04. And it's now at 16.91. So if the VIX is done with the downside, you might wonder if the market is done with the upside, you know, because you guys watch the VIX at all?
No, I know it stands for volatility index, but that's all I know.
Okay. Yeah. Because
how do you read it?
Yeah. Well, if it's above 20 or 25, the stock market's in some kind of trouble. And of course, if it's under 15 or down near 10, the market is pretty much gliding. Right now it's in between 20 and 15. So it doesn't tell you too much other than the 15, you know, does seem a little stretched and it's popped up about almost 2% from the low today, which is over a 10% move to the upside on the VIX. And the S&P has lost some altitude. But, you know, there's guys like Tom Lee of Fundstrat who think there's going to be a 12 print on the VIX this year. And with a 12 print on the VIX, you would imagine that would correlate to the 4,400, 4,500 kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about where we think this market could be going, just using the S&P to start out with, on a little bit of a longer term basis. Do you guys subscribe to the 4,400 to 4,600, or do you have any measurements that give you an idea of where we might be headed in the next month or two or three, Sunny?
Well, the weekly chart on the S&P just looks straight on up. I mean, it's been doing nothing but straight on up since COVID on the weekly chart. Let me real quick look at a monthly chart.
Do you have any measurements that give you some potential targets on the upside?
I use Fibonacci for that.
Okay.
Hang on in just a second, and I'll see what that little COVID crash looks like. Nothing after. No, I don't. I've got, that's 08. That's the real estate crash. Mm. Here's the COVID crash. Let's do this.
You don't say that.
but that's not very far away. 4,326. Mm-hmm. It's not very far away. That's certainly a cheese. But I'm thinking 4,500.
Yeah, 40. I've seen some people measure it up to 4,500 to 4,580 or something like that.
Yeah.
Norm, do you have any input on where you think?
I mean, I'm listening to numbers that are very unexciting. I mean, yeah, I think they're going higher, but you know, percentage wise to the basis that we're at right now, it's not.
That's not much.
Know, this is why I love the idea of, you know, being able to do chart analysis so that you can take that same type of analysis and go to things that are moving, like the grains, like the oil, like the things that are actually moving in a higher percentage and don't have these kinds of high basis. I do coach traders, especially the smaller accounts in the micro, which I think has been fabulous for them to be able to, hone their skills with small accounts. Weren't able to do that except for on a SIM account until, you know, a year or two ago when they started with these micro accounts, micro contracts. But the fact that you can actually risk money and have the emotions come up and really tell where you are as a trader, I think it's great. And there are, you know, plenty of small contracts. Corn is small, but you got to watch it because the moves could be big. And so my intention has actually been away from the indexes other than for training purposes, really,
right?
Because I just don't see the big potential. I see it higher, but I don't see it much higher. Again, that floating idea is where the market is until we get some action in Congress. And there's just nothing going on, no direction. And then we're kind of going with momentum now. You know?
I was listening to a speech by Robert Prechter earlier this year, and he was fairly certain that the interest rates were going to go up substantially and that the stock market was going to have a very significant drop. Does any of your homework, Sonny or Norm, give you an idea that at some point this year, I mean, the higher we go, obviously, the further we are getting away from these long-term averages. So is there a risk of a very, very significant drop before the end of the year or early next year?
Well, October's coming.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we usually have our significant drops in October. So if we're going to do one, around in there sounds good to me too.
Yeah.
And I like those significant drops. Those are great short times.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Norm, do you have any feeling on?
Yeah. I mean, I respect Elliot, but I've never quite been able to. There's always a bigger wave that's influencing the wave that I'm looking at. I'm wondering why it didn't happen. And there's another wave above it. And then when that didn't happen, there's another wave above that. I go to Jody Samuels, who I'm sure you've had on before. She seems to have some clarity in that, where she's, you know, to be able to adjust that. So, you know, I mean, Prechter has said a lot of things through the years, and, you know, sure. I respect that he's still a leader in that. But I don't know how to judge that. I've kind of heard it before from Elliot and Alan.
Yeah. It's probably not hard to imagine if we ran up to 4,600 and the Fed, after Jackson Hole is talking about tapering, and they find out that the costs that have gone up have not been able to be passed through to the consumer. So margins are going to be tighter, meaning earnings are going to be less. If you put that storm together, it probably is not too tough to figure out that you could drop 500 points or more on the S&P.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask Elliot Gould about that. You don't need Elliot Wave.
But, you know, now that you said Elliot Wave, on the S&P monthly chart, starting from right at the end of the COVID crash,
right,
there's 1, 2, 3 that may or may not be over yet. So we could get a little higher on the 3, and then the 2 was simple coming down. So the 4 should be fairly complex. and scary.
Yeah.
So we could do that correction and then go on up to the 4,500 or 4,600.
Yeah. Some people were also saying, I don't know if you ever heard of this one, where if interest rates peak like they did in March on the yields, within 2 to 4 months, the stock market peaks, which would have either be the peak in May or the peak in July. Do you have anything on that at all, or is that outside your realm?
That's outside my realm. You need to talk to Murray Ruggiero about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. But I want to ask Sonny something. Doesn't Elliot have a certain base in Fibonacci?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
you can count the extent. I don't have my spreadsheet in front of me right now, but I've got a little spreadsheet. Put the one wave in and it'll calculate 2, 3, 4, 5 for you. Mm. And it's pretty darn accurate. And you're right. It's all Fibonacci ratios.
Yeah, because I see the cover of his book right now with the wave, you know, with the ocean wave. Because I have my degrees are in math, and I really respect all of that. The whole idea of the universal relationships and so on.
Yeah.
The spiral galaxy, the arc shell, and so on. But somehow I guess I'm a little too ADD to sit there and count. You know,
I didn't know that about you, Norman, all these years, and I didn't know we're both mathematicians.
That's it. Again, I think we should do the band thing. Get into something new.
The Sunny Band. Oh,
the exercise band. Sunny.
Yeah. Oh, well, there we go. We can do that.
All right, we've got a little bit of time left. Do we have anything specific as far as certain markets you like quite a bit right now, Sonny, on a short or intermediate basis?
I've been trading the S&P for 40 years, so my whole thing is in the S&P. And in real life, when I'm actually trading, I have two charts overlaid on each other, a 1 minute and a 5 minute. Okay. And I probably trade 20 times a day, so I don't have any long-term projections.
I got you. Because I'm not 100% familiar with everything you do. So basically, you're looking at the thing on a short-term basis, and you're trying to basically follow a short-term movement.
Yes.
And are you out of the market at the end of every day, pretty much?
Yes, I am now. With the overnight markets out there, it's either that or stay awake all night and watch.
I got you. And so your thing is basically intraday trading.
Yes. I trade all my stocks are long-term, weekly, monthly, yearly.
Okay.
But my S&P trading is minutes and 5 minutes.
As far as the stocks that you like, is there some sectors that you would think in the next 3 to 6 months would be a good place to be? Like, is it consumer discretionary?
I'm following Kathy Wood. Kathy Wood when it comes to that.
Sure. So you're very big on the disruptors.
I am very big on the disruptors. Absolutely.
I got you. And you think that this big drop that we had in it was essentially a very large buying opportunity.
Yes.
I got you. And she even made the point of capitulation is not a time to sell. It's a time to buy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And every time Tesla, like I just said earlier, every time Tesla goes down, I buy more.
I got you.
Because he's amazing.
Well, yeah. And the direction of the world is in his direction. And he's supposed to have a large part of the market share. So if that all works that way, that's looking good.
Yep.
Norm, do you have any particular sectors or anything you like on this? Or stocks, what about any commodities or anything else you're looking at?
You know, I'm looking at, I do expect some continued volatility in the, a little bit more in the silver than in the gold. I think the crude is a great place to be. These are all contracts that have mini type contracts so that even some smaller accounts, when I say smaller accounts, I mean those less than 25,000, maybe 20 or 15 can actually take on those kinds of contracts. Well, I like to be with his movement.
Right.
But I want to ask Sonny, now that I got her, I'm sorry.
Call me anytime, Norm.
I should. It's just that I got a feeling I'd be on the phone too long. But, I've been looking at, I'm doing a presentation tomorrow where I'm kind of pulling back the curtain on all the people that lose in day trading and the percentages, you know. What is it that we're doing that's so different than the vast majority of people? What are the one or two things that you could tell people from your experience? I know what I tell them, but what would you tell them? You always look at things a little bit differently than I do.
I think that the people who are doing that, the 90% who lose money at this business are chasing strategies, chasing systems, and chasing markets. You got to settle down, specialize in one, and stay with it. You can't be a master at baseball if you're also spending all your time doing football and basketball and golf and everything else, and you don't practice your baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, you just pick what you want, which for me is the S&P, because it's the most traded, it's the most liquid contract. Take a look at Stocks and Money's magazine, you know. Their volatility table shows you that's the most traded thing. It's the easiest to get in and the easiest to get out with the least amount of slippage.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's
why I do it.
that's kind of the inside out same thing that I, you know, the way I see it is that there are plenty of good trading plans out there. Some are better than others. And I think it's important to first analyze yourself and see the kind of person you are. And so that you can match the kind, I mean, if you're an ADD type person, you don't want to have a trading plan that insists that you be patient like a saint. You know, you want a trading plan that has some action to it. There's nothing wrong with that. Once you decide, take the self-analysis and apply it to a trading plan, then it's time to stick to the plan, which is the mental and emotional game, and not moving from plan to plan. And so I come to the same conclusion as I knew I would from a different angle. So I think if you're out there listening to this and you're running a trading plan that seems to sometimes work and sometimes doesn't work, look back and do some back testing on it. If it seems as if it would have worked, if you had followed it, then it's time to work on you. And once you get you and the right trading plan together, then you can join Sonny and I and Jim and the 10%, because that's really what it takes. And it really takes just focus on just improving yourself and improving your trading plan as you go along. So,
hey, Norm, I'm going to throw one out here for you since you're such an spread trader kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I got gold down $13. I got platinum up $14. Is there a spread opportunity? Sell gold, buy platinum?
No. The answer is no. Normally, I would have said yes, but platinum's kind of lost its love. I mean, platinum should have been way up here. You know, when gold hit 850, platinum was at 1150 way back when. Somehow it got all the way down to 800 or 850. It's palladium, even though it's a thinner market, seems to be.
Yeah, that's a hard. You can't really play palladium.
You can't trade palladium.
No, but platinum also, doesn't that have the catalytic converter thing going? And are we going to be opening up new car production? And could that be a positive thing that's been holding it down because of no chips? They had no cars going, and the platinum is used in the cars.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, there's the other. I don't think it is being used in the in the electric cars, but I think there's some silver orientation in there. But no, I really don't. I've been staying away from platinum. I think gold and silver are much more appropriate. I'd still be looking for places to buy silver and sell gold if you're looking for spread.
You think that spread would make more sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I do.
All right. Before we run out of time, I definitely want you guys to be able to tell us more about what you're doing and how people can get a hold of you, and if you have any special offers. Sonny Harris, could you start out again just reminding people who you are and how they can get a hold of you? And if you had something special you wanted to offer, this is a great time to do it.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. special to offer, let's start with that in case I do run out of time. Anybody who's listened to this presentation today and wants to give me a call or an email at sonny@moneymentor.com. The website is moneymentor.com and the email is sonny@moneymentor.com. Anybody who's heard this, mention it, you can have 30% off of whatever I sell until the end of the month.
Wow.
So I think that's pretty fair. What I'm doing is trading. That's my mainstay. Yep. And what I do on the side is a passion of mine, and that is to help people who either are traders and would like to be better traders or would like to become traders. I teach trading and I also teach TradeStation in easy language. And I've authored 5 books on trading.
Oh, that's excellent. And your basic website address is?
www.moneymentor.com.
Okay. So moneymentor.com is the website. And then to get a hold of you, of course, is the sonny@moneymentor.com.
Yep. And if you open up Money Mentor, you'll see right on top of my phone number if you want to call me.
Oh, great. Boy, you can't get more available than that. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, you got all that knowledge, you got all that experience. I mean, and you have your phone number available. I think it's pretty silly, to not look into that further.
Yeah, and I like to talk to people. So, if you want to just talk to me, tell stories, you don't have to buy anything.
Yeah.
Just
and of course, you get a different vantage point and you get a different discipline, and that's how you learn and that's how you grow as an investor too.
Right.
So, it's all good stuff. Norm, again, a little background again, and also how people can get a hold of you and your website.
Well, I think I'm doing a presentation tomorrow on something. I know it sounds a little bit negative, but how the market is not really set up for you to win, the financial market, and how there are forces that kind of work against you. And I'm doing a special presentation on that tomorrow. So if you want me to send you an invite, it's just go to thedisciplinedtrader.com. Don't forget the THE in the beginning, and ask Alexa how to spell discipline. thedisciplinedpasttensetrader.com, and go to the contact page. and just say, hey, send me the invite. Because there are, you know, and one thing is that, you know, you can't go wrong with Sunny. I mean, you can get, you got to trust the person that is if somebody depends on you buying something for their livelihood, that's probably a person to stay away from. Sunny, for instance, has plenty of livelihood with her trading. She's doing it. She's doing it because she loves to teach people. That's the relationship that you want. So I'm saying, I want to show you a few tricks of the trade. I've been through I've seen a lot of people come and go and a lot of money come and go. I took a poll where the average trader has blown out more than four accounts that come to me. And that really shocked me.
Wow.
Yeah, and I gave a choice, one account, two. It was a multiple choice. And it was five or more. 40% said they blew out five or more accounts. So that's when they come to me for the mental and emotional. But that's not all your fault. It's because the industry is kind of set up like that. It's almost not their fault either. But I want to show you the facts. You know, we say 90% lose. Is that a fact? I'm going to show you some studies and show you the real facts. So just go to the contact page at thedisciplinetrader.com and ask for an invite. I'll send it to you.
That's great. All right. Both of you guys bring a lot to the table. That's for sure.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And you guys, he's absolutely right on what he just said. Great insight, Norm.
Yeah. I mean, if you can go with the technical stuff from Sunny and get the discipline and and that kind of stuff from Norm, you'd have a good combination there. No doubt about it.
And we'll throw in an exercise video.
Exactly. We'll bring the Sunny bands with us.
My God. This is the Sunny and Norm show.
All right, you guys, I think we had a great show here today. We gave a lot of good information. And of course, to follow up, contact both Norm and Sunny and do yourself a favor. With regards to optionprofessor.com, we do have a weekly market update covering everything from stocks, bonds to crude oil, the international markets, as well as the gold and the crypto. So a lot to be covered every week with the Option Professor. To get on the mailing list, you go optionprofessor.com and put in your email and you're all set. Right now, I'm going to turn it back to David. And again, thank you, Sunny, very much. I've never been on there with you, so this has been a treat. And Norm, always a pleasure. Yeah, Sunny, you bring a lot of great stuff to the table. So thanks a lot for being here.
All right,
you bet. David, we're back with you.
Yeah. Funny story. Sunny was on one of the first episodes of this show back in 2014, so like almost 7 years ago. And then we kind of
lost
touch with each other for a while. But you've been an awesome presenter on some recent the Synergy Trader events, and it's great to have you back on the show. So
I'm enjoying it a lot.
She's been living the good life in North County, right, Sunny?
Well, to tell you the truth, what happened is I inherited my grandsons, and so I raised my grandsons, and I took 18 years off trading part time, of course, because you know, once a trader, always a trader.
Right.
But now I'm back full time. They're adults and gone.
Oh, good.
It sounds like the great grandsons are about to arrive.
Oh no. I don't want any more kids.
All right. Well, yeah, tons of good info on today's show. I got a lot of, wrote down a lot for the show notes for this episode. So a ton of good info. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app, or you can also go just directly to timingresearch.com to get access to this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the past shows and events. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Sunny Harris of moneymentor.com, Norman Hallett of thedisciplinetrader.com, and the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.
Bye, Sunny.
Bye-bye, guys.